one of the three Sundays in the year when we sit in community around the Lord's table to share in a meal that we call Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, or even the Eucharist. And the meal consists of grain and grape. We don't share this meal very often, and so it should hold for us a particular significance. And indeed, that is one defence for only having Holy Communion a few times a year. It is a tradition that's been handed down the generation, from generation to generation. But a tradition that grew out of necessity rather than intention. Last year marked the 500th year since the start of a period in European history known as the Reformation. It was 500 years since Martin Luther hammered a series of statements to the door of the church in his hometown of Wittenberg in Germany. The Reformation in Scotland took a while longer to get going, and interestingly enough, the northeast of Scotland was one of the last parts of Scotland to see the new Reformed Church take control. That new Reformed Church being the Church of Scotland. Pre-Reformation, Holy Communion was shared every Sunday and continues to be shared by Roman Catholics and the Anglican churches every week, but seldom so in the Church of Scotland. Post-Reformation, as the new church was growing, there was a shortage of ministers. Does that sound familiar? Who could preside over Holy Communion. And so itinerant ministers would be sent on tour, if you like, to preside over the meal. And so began a tradition known as communion season. And this is where the tradition of quarterly or even six-monthly, in some places, Holy Communion or Lord's Supper began. Not out of a desire to keep it special. It was always special. No matter how often you experience it, visit a Roman Catholic or Anglican church for Mass, and you will see how serious these churches take the Eucharist, as they might call it. It is always special. So what makes it so special? To begin at the beginning, it is special because it is an act that Jesus instituted as he sat with his friends at the Passover meal they shared in his last earthly hours. The Passover meal itself is one full of symbolism. And Jesus had put a lot of effort into the preparations for this particular Passover meal. The Passover celebrated the Jewish people's escape from Egypt. It was and is still a significant tradition for the Jewish people. Jesus put a great deal into making the arrangements for what he knew was to be his last meal with his friends. The choreography of this meal was important. And Mark's gospel picks up many of the small details that we might overlook as we focus on the meal itself. For example, they were to go to the city and look for a man carrying a jar of water. Now, Jerusalem at this point would have been a very busy place. How on earth were they to support this man? The answer is actually very simple. Carrying water was a woman's job. So a man carrying water would have been fairly easy to spot. All Jesus had to do was make the arrangements ahead of their arrival for this man to be waiting to show the disciples to the house where the upper room had been made ready. The upper room itself is important. This was not the main room in the house. The upper room was more often than not a storeroom or a room used for contemplation or as a guest bedroom or by a rabbi to teach his followers. The important thing to know is that it was not usually accessed through the main entrance to the house. The access would have had an exterior stairway. Jesus' arrival with his followers would not have attracted too much attention, as the sight of a rabbi and his followers climbing up to an upper room would not have been that unusual. Arriving on the Thursday was important too. The day of Passover began at 6 p.m. on the appropriate day and lasted through until 6 p.m. the following day. In our Holy Week timeline, 6 p.m. on the Thursday until 6 p.m. on Good Friday. The meal itself took some preparation. Everything about it had special meaning. The lamb was a reminder of how the houses of the Jews had been protected by a badge of blood when the angel of death had passed through Egypt. There was the unleavened bread, a reminder that in their haste to leave, there had not been time to prepare bread with yeast in it. A bowl of salt water was laid on the table as a reminder of the tears that had been shed during their time in Egypt and of the waters of the Red Sea that had parted, making their journey back to Israel possible. A selection of bitter herbs would also have been on the table. These were to remind them of the bitterness of their slavery in Egypt. Bitter herbs would include horseradish, chicory, endive, among other things. A special paste called charosheth would be prepared. This was a mixture of apple, dates, pomegranates, and nuts. This was to remind them of the clay from which they made bricks in Egypt during their time of slavery. Sticks of cinnamon would be added to the paste to remind them of the straw in the bricks. And finally, there would be 4 cups of wine, each containing just over 1/2 pint. 3 parts wine would be mixed with 2 of water. The 4 cups of wine were drunk at various stages in the meal as a reminder of the 4 promises found in Exodus chapter 6 at verses 6 to 7. I am the Lord. I will rescue you and set you free from your slavery to the Egyptians. I will raise my mighty arm to bring terrible punishment upon them, and I will save you. I will make you my own people, and I will be your God. You will know that I am the Lord your God when I set you free from slavery in Egypt. The symbolism of Jesus' last meal with his friends cannot be lost on us. This was no ordinary Passover meal, and Jesus knew it. So Jesus took a significant tradition and set in place what has become one of the most significant things that we do in church as a church family. Sitting around that table with his friends, even the one who would betray him, Jesus spoke words that have become all so familiar to us. This is my body. Take it. And this is my blood, which is poured out for the many. My blood, which seals God's covenant. We will shortly share this meal, and in doing so, are reminded of Jesus' broken body for us and his blood shed for us. This is a special meal. The symbolism of the act cannot be lost. We are joined with Christ in this act. It's not a passive act, but an act in which God is active. In our prayer of thanksgiving, we call upon God to bless the wine and the bread that we share, to make them significant. In our church tradition, baptism and Holy Communion are the 2 occasions during which we call upon God to be active in and around what we are doing, making them both sacraments. We ask God to change the nature of the bread and wine in the case of communion, and the water in the case of baptism. Holy Communion is also significant because it calls the community of faith that we call church together to share in something special. In the act of sharing this meal, we are united, each of us one to another. Over the summer, we explored what it meant to be church. Today in this service, we are bringing to God ourselves in an act of witness to this. We are bound together in this meal. That Jesus chose to share his final meal as a Passover meal was no coincidence. It was a deliberate demonstration to those he shared it with of their importance to him. It was a deliberate act, too, that it was the Passover meal, the meal that celebrated more than any other their Jewishness. And yet it also set in place a sacrament that is distinctly Christian. We all know that Jesus' disciples were not the perfect team. Sat around the table with Jesus that night was the man who would betray him just hours later. Sat around the table with Jesus that night was Peter, who the next day would deny him not once, but 3 times. Sat around that table with Jesus that night was Peter's younger brother, Andrew, who had been a disciple first of John the Baptist. Sat around the table with Jesus that night was Thomas, who gets a hard rap for having his doubts. Sat around the table that night with Jesus were James and John, who squabbled over who was the most loved by Jesus. Sat around the table with Jesus that night was Matthew, the tax collector, a man with a brutal past. Sat around the table with Jesus that night were his friends Philip and Bartholomew, of whom we know little, but important enough to Jesus to be there. Sat around the table with Jesus that night was Simon the Zealot. His name suggests that he was politically active. Sat around the table with Jesus that night was the other James, of whom little is also known, but still part of Jesus' team. Sat around the table that night was Thaddeus or Judas or the Lebbeus, a man with different names. And sat around that table with Jesus that night were you and I. That is what makes this time together so significant and special. No matter who we are, no matter what our backgrounds, our histories, our journey of faith, Jesus welcomes us all, asks us all to pull up a chair and share. No one here is more important than anyone else. No one loved more or loved any less than anyone else. All loved and treasured by Jesus, our host. In this meal, we approach our Lord and our Saviour and receive the food and wine that binds us together in true community and binds us together with those who have come before us and those who will follow us, and binds us together with the woman at the well who drank the living water, Zacchaeus the tree climber who broke the mould of tax collectors, Jairus' daughter who rose from sleep and knew new life, Peter, who chose to have his feet washed and then deny, Lazarus, who fashioned the way of resurrection, Mary, for whom Jesus could find no accusers, the Syrophoenician woman, who challenged Jesus with an inclusive kingdom, Andrew, who found a picnic and thought it might become a feast, Martha, the worker with no time to rest and listen, the hemorrhaging woman, who dared reach out and touch, Judas, betrayer who tried to force the hand of the kingdom. For each one, Jesus broke bread and said, "This kingdom is for you." For each one, Jesus shared wine and said, "The promise is alive in you." For each one, Jesus asked, "Make this the one thing you always do to remember me." For you, and I, Jesus broke bread and poured wine. For you and I, his body was broken and his blood was spilled. For you and I. Amen.
Your heart beats so.